lights turned on and the curtain fell down. And when it was over, it felt like a dream. They stood at the stage door and begged for a scream. The agents had paid for the black limousine that waited outside in the rain. Did you see them? Did you see them? Did you see them in the river? They were there to wave to you. Could you tell that the empty quiver, brown skin, Indian on the banks that were crowded and narrow, held a broken arrow? The queen wore the white of the county of song. The black covered case on her horses had drawn protected her king from the sun rays of dawn. They married for peace and were gone. Did you see them? Did you see them?
After hour one, right here on Community Radio in the 21st Century, 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City. I am Benjamin. This is the Paragon Radio Program. And it's amazing the response that the non-corporately sponsored text line is getting, 816-301-5731. And I apologize, David. I wasn't doing it on purpose, but there's so many coming in. I'm not selecting these because David was wanting to say that it was a bloody sick show how those Bostonians cheered for them getting that boy. It was absolutely sick. And I remember what I remember from the hunt of Joskar Tsarnaev, or whatever that man's name, whatever, what is he doing right now? Sharing a cell with the Aurora, Colorado shooter somewhere, watching A Clockwork Orange or something like that with the gator clips, affixing their eyelids open in the open position. What I remember from that, though, is the Boston police and the state police of Massachusetts sending out all these texts, and these texts basically saying, "We got him." You know, what has, you know, the you know, evil committed, and just the implication that there was not going to be a need for any type of investigation, that the court of public opinion had already decided that it was time to get them and string them up or whatever. And that we're told that this is the enemy, and then you go after him. And so many people spent so much time with the Boston Marathon and the pictures of that finish line and all the private security and guys wearing backpacks that were very similar to the backpack that the Tsarnaev brothers were wearing, or however that works. That was a very bizarre several days when they were sifting through all those pictures, and you had all types of just regular folks sifting through all these pictures trying to figure out who it may have been. I remember looking at some of those pictures that people had scoured. And there were a lot of creeps at that finish line. Maybe there were always creeps standing on that corner in Boston. I don't know. I've not visited the city before. Definitely a very produced experience. And I think the end result for that was that we are kept safe by our police state. And you're supposed to feel good about that. And it's supposed to be a nice little cuddly blanket to keep you warm at night. Good morning. You're on the radio. Hey, guy breathing into the radio, you're on it. Hello, caller?
Hello, this is Russ calling in.
Hi, Russ, you're on the phone.
Oh, I couldn't hear you very well. Must be my crappy dumb phone.
Continue, Russ.
Oh, I was calling in about the Miller case.
Oh, right.
Well, you know, I found it rather interesting that the Southern Poverty Law Center is pushing. They came out with a report, maybe you saw it, that linked 100 deaths worldwide to, you know, the website Stormfront, which is a, people that don't know, it's a white supremacy website. But what I found rather interesting about it is that in Kansas City, over 100 people got shot and killed last year, and yet, you know, how many of those people that were shot and killed listen to rap or hip hop? But I don't hear any effort to outlaw rap or hip hop. I mean, it seems to me the real agenda is to introduce hate speech laws in the United States.
Russ, and I mean, if we want to get serious about domestic violence, are we going to outlaw country music?
Well, that's how stupid this report was. That's my point. That's how stupid this report was. It's like, you know, it's trying to make a casual link between hanging out on a particularly disturbing website and violence all over the planet.
I'm not going to sit here. I don't feel the need to defend the Southern Poverty Law Center, but I certainly don't think that there's any reason to defend Stormfront. And I'm sure that.
Well, that's not the issue, though, defending it. The issue is defending free speech.
Yeah, no, fair enough. But I think that there's a point at which, if you're dealing with white supremacy or hate, that there's a point at which people start to egg people on. And I think a forum on the internet where people get to make believe and be some avatar, you know, pretend they're something they aren't, or get to be hyperbolic about a feeling they have and be all bad on the internet. Sometimes people talking turns into something a little bit more. And I don't know if you can connect those deaths. I don't know how you would go about connecting those deaths like the Southern Poverty Law Center would. But does Stormfront encourage or incite violence against people who are not
Well, I understand it's about Protestants.
Yes,
I mean, I'm throwing this out, but about 20% of the people that post there are FBI informants. So.
I'm sure it's more than that. I mean, that's a reality that I think, you know, people should know that. And people should know that about the white supremacy movement and what was once the militia movement from the 90s, is that most of that is just FBI government informants. I mean, Miller was at one point in the witness protection program because he turned state's evidence against some of his own cronies. I mean, that's the reality of that. I mean, it's the same thing with Muslim terrorism in this country right now, in that every time a plot is uncovered, the FBI sold them the bomb through the FBI inert weapons catalog. I mean, right? So extremism, violent extremism based upon race, violent extremism based upon religion, tends to be just tools of manipulation that government and other entities apply and manipulate people with, right? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I'm not supporting Stormfront. I mean, I don't care whether it's on or not, but I think there's a broader.
Russ, you're telling us you deleted your Stormfront account?
I was not on there. So I told you I hang out at the Huffington Post, which is about as liberal as you can get. But no, I'm just saying that I do think there's certainly a minority of people on the left that would like to bring hate speech laws to this country. They would like to get talk radio off the airwaves.
Oh, not NPR, not community radio. You see, but no.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. They'd like to get Rush Limbaugh off the radio, or Sean Hannity, or somebody. They would like to get them off the radio. They're trying to lump everybody into the same camp. You know, it's like if you don't support Obama 100%, you're racist, you're xenophobic, and you're homophobic. I mean, I'm running out of phobias, but
well, so wasn't
those
this,
are the big three.
But this Miller character was running for Congress or Senate because he lived in Aurora, Missouri, which is a suburb or close to Springfield, Missouri. He was running for political offices, and part of that was because he was given some airtime because of it, because he was a candidate. And he was able to run commercial advertising because he was a candidate. And I heard one of the stations that he had run some advertising on. I heard what they had preceded the average. I mean, they put a disclaimer in there saying that we are forced to do this because this guy's running for something. The idea that let this guy have all the speech he wants, right? Because
he was running under the Democratic Party.
Right.
He ran as a Democrat the first time.
What difference does that make?
Well, I can't argue that too strongly. That's true.
It doesn't make any difference at all. Let him have as much speech as he wants. Right? I mean, in the end, what we see from these white supremacists, these extremists, these violent, he thinks there's a race war, Charlie Manson wannabe type, whatever he is, government informant, Stormfront, devotee, I don't know. He is completely and totally impotent, ineffectual. He's a crazy old drunk or whatever. And he was not able to even kill a Jewish person. He was unable to do that.
Yeah, that's kind of
ironic. These people are not threats to society at all. It's the reaction to these people that become, I mean, if anything, the big threat. So then, I mean,
How would you classify, and I know this is kind of a strange question maybe, but how would you classify, I mean, I know the people at the Southern Poverty Law Center and other such organizations, they would like to categorize what Miller did as a terrorist attack, but would you consider that more of a terrorist attack or the guy that was shooting on Highway 71 as far as the impact on the general population?
I don't think either had, I mean, you know, as much as people were concerned about the shootings random on 71, did it really change the way people went about their day?
Well, I know several people that actually did start driving on the side roads. as opposed to driving on the the area where all the shootings supposedly were happening.
I mean, to me, neither one of those cases, you know, are terrorism. They're both examples of crazy people with guns, right?
Well, I understand that, but I mean, I'm just asking which one would rise to the rank of terrorism if it's defined as terrorizing the population.
Well, it's you terrorize somebody for the purposes of manipulating their will or getting them to do or accept a social or political situation that they normally would not, right?
Well, I guess that's one definition. That's true.
So that's the definition that I would use, and I see both those people as just being, you know, mentally, you know, ill. I don't know that there's. I mean, what else is there? That character.
So far there's no motives from the Muhammad guy.
I thought
been released yet.
What made most sense to me in regards to the highway shootings that it would have been gang initiation or something like that. I was not expecting it to be just one individual doing that over and over again. But I'm going to go with mental illness there, and not terrorism.
Well, his last name. It doesn't really sound like it's from the Middle East.
He looks like a black guy to me.
Well, I know that.
Right. He doesn't look like a Muslim.
Well, his last name was like Whitaker, so.
Right.
I mean, it's just kind of, I'm assuming you could find some people to name their kid Muhammad without any links to Islam, but.
Really?
I'm sure there's somebody that has.
Well, I mean, that's
maybe.
Like naming your daughter Portia without any links to German engineering. Russ, we appreciate your phone call.
All right. Later, man.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI, or you can email the non-corporately sponsored Paragon Radio text line, 816-301-5731. And people love you, Russ. BS, BS. Everything you say, Russ, is total BS. Russ, I'm sick of my damned government user fees going up by crapola bureaucrats like you. You are so full of crap, Russ! Exclamation point. See, you know, it's one of those things, just like the internet allows people to say stuff that they normally wouldn't, so do text messages, clearly. Clearly, text messages have that same effect upon things.
My friend Keith Hansen, or Visigoth, that does radio in Tampa, used to talk about the word terrorism, like the dictionary definition. It was a government tactic used against the population, exclusively. That's the only thing it meant. From like 1795 until like 1946, and then magically, and he had the two different dictionaries. I was trying to find that specific post he had, I couldn't. But like from between 46 and 47, approximately, I may have that off by a few years, the definition flipped from what government does to the people to the other way around, what we're supposedly doing to each other. It's so, even like Terrence McKenna says, languages are prison or our palace. You know, those are not acts of terrorism. They're acts that might instill terror. And it's a fine line to nitpick, but I don't think either of those are terrorist acts or acts of terrorism, because that's something the man does to the wee folk. I think they are hyped up in a media sense, because like you said, how many people got shot. Sorry, the spring was...
You're just playing with it. Stop touching
it. I'm just playing with it. I think they do find and nitpick stories like that, you know, to piggyback things like the anniversary of the Boston bombing, you know, a little present to Hitler's birthday.
Yeah, but that could be the media just doing that because they got to sell newspapers though, right?
Well, and it's secondarily, but their first goal is to instill...
And you're talking
fear.
To the government though. Well, they are just lizards.
Yeah, the
around.
I don't even make a distinction between the news.
Votive candles arranged like a pentagram.
Correct.
Is that what we're talking about? Okay. 816-931-5534. 931-KKFI, you're on the radio.
Yeah, boy, George Washington.
With his guns and his Bibles.
That's right. I mean, it's Uncle Fester. What's going on, Benjamin?
So is the solution to... 71 shootings in the future, highway 71 shootings, I-49 shootings. We should arm the commuters.
Absolutely. And let's bring a little reality to the situation here, shall we? The lowest crime rate in the civilized world is the country of Switzerland, where mandatory gun ownership is quite mandatory. Plus, you have to be proficient in the use of an assault weapon. You have to know how to hide it in your house. You have to know how to hide the ammo in your house. Everybody is issued one. Well, you know, they might have just changed this, but it was that way in Switzerland for years and years and years and years. That might have just changed in the last year or two. And Switzerland, by far, has the lowest violent crime rate in the world. And you know why? Because everybody knows in Switzerland that everybody's packing. You ain't breaking into no houses. You ain't robbing no stores because everybody has a gun. And not just any gun, a big gun.
Well, and that's, you know, that is true, but also...
Of course it's true.
Listen, there's more to the story, though.
Yeah,
it's
they're socialists, and they don't need for anything.
They're socialists. They're pretty heterogeneous. They're a small place. You know, lizard bankers run the thing, so, I mean...
And where we have strict control gun laws, like D.C. and Chicago, well, what did Chicago have this week? Like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15, 20 murders? You know, I don't know how many people, but, you know, that hey, man, you can't have guns in Chicago. We don't want those violent, no-good guns. You know, that if you have guns in Chicago, a bunch of violence might break out, right?
Well, but
I mean,
it's a stupid argument.
It's just an idiotic argument, Benjamin. Well, it's just idiotic. It's been debunked. It's been proven that it's bunk. It's just absolute garbage. More guns equal less crime, period. It's been proven. It's not even debatable.
Well, it's debatable.
But if you look at America...
Sounds like a master debate.
If you look at America, and you look at all the counties in America, the vast majority of the gunplay, the gun violence, takes place in a very small sliver of the 10,000-plus counties. I mean, 50 of those 10,000 counties are where 95% of the homicides are. You know, the vast majority of America is just like Switzerland, where you don't have violence... You know, you don't have gun violence. You don't have the assaults, aggravated or otherwise. You don't have that. But in the inner cities of the United States, you do have that. You have these problems.
Correct. Well, Even though Chicago has gun laws, people are still packing.
Show me one place where they have areas of law where the crime rate is above the national average. You can't do it. I'll tell you this. I'm in Kansas. Kansas is getting ready to pass open carry, and when they do, you watch the crime rate in Kansas absolutely dwindle down to next to nothing.
No, that's
exactly what will happen.
Do you think that passing a law for open carry is going to change the situation on 5th and Quindaro? Because it's not.
I think it might.
It's not. Because
you're talking to somebody that drove a cab in Midtown for 20 years.
Sure.
I've walked the 39th Street corridor from Prospect to Main Street at night. Sure. I've walked the 7th Street corridor from Quindaro to State Avenue at night. You know, I'm a white man. I know a little bit about it. Believe me, I was walking down Quindaro and had some brothers throw beer bottles past my head walking down. Of course, you know, you have to be an idiot to be walking down 7th Street, you know, between Quindaro and State Avenue.
Did you tell your mom your brothers were being mean to you?
Yeah, how did you know they were brothers?
Actually, I just quickened my step a little bit. If I would have been packing at the time, I don't know what would have happened. But,
you'd be in jail for killing somebody that threw a bottle at you.
Probably not. I probably would have just kept walking unless they decided they wanted to assault me or something.
But I think the point, Fester, is that you have a lot of this inner city gun violence based upon economic issues and, you know, social demographic issues beyond, you know, the idea of, you know, I mean, there's plenty of guns on the inner city streets.
I know, but look, Benjamin, a lot of this, and look, I can tell you this from driving a cab, man. A lot of it is just idiots that want to play bang, bang, shoot 'em up. They listen to a rap album, you know, they drive around, and listen, I've heard this.
Hey,
you know,
Johnny Cash shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Don't blame it on rap.
Huh?
Johnny Cash shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Don't blame it on rap. And even though there's restrictive gun laws in Chicago, they're still packing.
You want to talk about the inner city, though. You want to look.
It's socioeconomic.
You're 39th in Maine, right?
People without hope shoot at each other.
Dude,
there's lots of hope in Switzerland.
I've driven through rolling gun battles at 38th and Warwick.
Right.
In my cab, where people were on both sides of the street popping caps at each other. You know, I mean, come on.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
And you know the location I'm talking about. you know, it used to be back probably a little bit before your time. You weren't making it from 43rd and Warwick to 38th and Warwick at midnight alive. It just wasn't going to happen. You might make it alive, but you were going to the hospital. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, and I'm a veteran of all that stuff. I've been through all that crap. I'm just glad to have survived it. You know, I used to break at 37th of Broadway at Kenny's Newsroom, and you know, I mean, we had people, you know, die in the parking lot because people come down from Johnson County and kids think it's a game and end up dead in the damn parking lot.
Fester, now you can go
10 years
from 43rd and Warwick to 38th and Warwick at 1:25 in the morning. I mean, I'll go down there. I'd walk that stretch right now if I didn't have to do this radio show.
On my drive in, the only two people I saw were white walking down.
And everything would be fine. Now, why? What is the difference there? Is it because Missouri passed concealed carry in the last 10 years?
No, I can tell you exactly what it is because I used to live in that neighborhood. I used to live at 42nd and Oak, between 42nd and 43rd and Oak, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. When I was living there were a bunch of crack houses. There were apartments, crack people. We had some brothers break into my house, walking around the house. I woke up just as they were exiting out a window. And what it is, I'll tell you exactly what it was. The neighbors finally got fed up and banded together and got rid of that crap.
Right.
That's what it was because the neighbors just got fed up with it.
Right. So because the neighborhood decided to get organized, and a lot of the houses that were crack houses are now have been rehabbed and have, you know, students or, you know, regular people, regular relative to Midtown people living in them. I mean, that's the difference. It's not because of guns. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not I have nothing. I'm a firm believer in all the amendments, including the second one.
I'm not a gun owner so much because I'm worried about some crackhead breaking into the house. Believe me, I'm more scared of my government than I am some crackhead. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
And in theory, that's really nice. But the reality is that when the Second Amendment was written, Americans had parity with the government in regards to firepower. The government had muskets, and so did the people. Right?
Well,
now the government has Trident missiles and ICBMs that are under the sea on submarines and stuff like that. So literally, if we're going to have that same parity of firepower with the government, we need ICBMs. What do you think about
that? Okay, well, then take it. Here's another reality, Benjamin. Your government doesn't give a rat patootie about you, man. Your government will kill you, and here's your two choices. You can lay down and take it, or you can fight back. That's the real reality. The real reality is the government doesn't care whether you live or die. And if you get in the government's way, you will die, and you can lay down and take it, or you can at least try
right.
to fight back. That's the reality.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that you heard what I said. You know, in that, you know, you can stand there and, you know, me go down in your blaze of glory like a damn Yankee with your AR-15 or something like that. That's all good. But in the end, I don't know what that will really accomplish.
Well, you know, it's the only thing we've got right now. Let's look at the real reality of it, and then I want to just say something else and hop off real quick. But okay, Mao in China, unarmed citizens. You tell me how many millions died. Germany, they disarmed the citizens. You tell me how many millions died. Pol Pot, no guns, no citizens fight back with anything. Millions dead. Anytime, history is replete with examples of the citizenry being unarmed, and the end result is always the same. Millions and millions of dead people. How much more proof do you need?
What stopped the Bureau of Land Management in that chapter of that saga between the government and the Bundy Ranch? What stopped that? Was it people openly carrying AR-15s on that highway overpass?
I suspect what stopped it was Harry Reid didn't want his name splashed all over the massacre of a bunch of ranchers out in Nevada, because look, Harry Reid's already been exposed for wanting to build a solar plant on that property, and he just wanted it. He didn't want it to go any further. And you know, I've heard stories that there were people with guns in the back of that line that advanced, and I don't know if there were or not, but the people had their hands up. No, it wasn't guns that stopped it. I don't think the government
opinion.
Really cares if they if
public opinion. Name, It was public opinion that stopped it.
It was public opinion, and Harry Reid not wanting to make national headlines for being
public opinion. The internet. I mean, if the government, literally, if there had been some sort of altercation, if bullets had been fired, whew, that would have been, I could only imagine what the,
okay,
what the 19th of April
quick,
would have
Benjamin.
Ended
I, and,
up
and
being
this
like.
Ought to, this ought to really,
that's
really
all I'm saying.
Piss off some liberals out there. But
the anniversary of Waco would have been much different this year had the Bureau of Land Management started attacking the Bundy Ranch. It would have been a little bit heavier this year.
Yeah. On the SPLC. The SPLC is nothing but a bunch of gangsters and crooks. They don't even hardly spend any money defending people on civil rights issues. They pocket the money. Give me a break. Morris Dees and Mark Potok. Morris Dees defended Klansmen when they were doing, when the Freedom Riders, one of the Klansmen that was convicted of beating one of the Freedom Riders, Morris Dees defended before he figured out there was more money in suckering money out of gullible liberals with white guilt. Give me a freaking break. Morris Dees is nothing but a freaking crook.
Oh, okay.
And so is Mark. That whole organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center, is a joke. It's a complete and utter freaking joke. I mean, I get completely wound up talking about the Southern Poverty Law Center. What a bunch of crooks. What a bunch of absolute crooks. And let me get this in real quick. You want to talk about and sinkholes? Your buddy wants to talk about sinkholes?
Yeah,
let me give
sure
you something
does.
To really worry about. Chemtrails, baby. You know, I can't believe.
That's yesterday's
news. Does anybody ever look up at the sky? Does anybody
we all
ever
do.
Notice
it's fun.
The planes are flying checkerboard patterns like tic-tac-toe? Does anybody ever pay any attention to that? You know, you're worried about sinkholes and shootings at Quick Trip, and they're dumping
chemicals
on our damn
head. Look,
man,
don't you know what's going on? They're dumping aluminum in the sky to help, you know, fight.
Yeah, I know. Geoengineering.
Fight global
yeah,
warming.
Correct. Yeah. It's not. They're not dumping it on us. They're keeping it up there to.
They're keeping it up there to reflect the, you know, sun's rays back up and try to keep from the global, you know.
Well, no, it doesn't stay up there though. That's the problem. If you watch these things that they spray, they get lower and lower and lower and lower, and then they end up falling on us.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was driving out to the lake the other day, and I was out in Kansas, and I noticed that it happened to be a really good day for the chemtrails that day. They were everywhere. Oh. It was like tic-tac-toe across the sky. So
absolutely.
When I stopped to pay my toll, the Kansas Turnpike there was an older gentleman. He looked like a native Kansan, and I thought, what the hell? I'm going to have fun with this. I'm like, hi, sir. I'm like, so I'm from Florida. I don't know what this is. What the hell is all this stuff in the sky? And he goes, well, what are you talking about? And I pointed at the, you know, there was probably about 25 zigzags right over us, slowly dissipating.
Right.
And he goes, well, those are contrails. And I'm like, oh, you mean ice crystals? And it was like a day when it was 84 degrees outside. And he's like, yeah. He's like, it's a lot colder up there. He's like, you don't see those in Florida because it's not cold there. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, sir. Well, thank you. I just have never seen anything like this.
It's pretty easy because you can see the actual jetliner contrails, and you can see them dissipate, and you can see the chemtrails, and you can see them drop down and get lower. And then if you look at the sun behind one of these chemtrails, it refracts real nicely. But, you know, I can't remember. It makes me so damn angry. I'll have a nice day with a clear blue sky, and then they start spraying. I can't remember the last time there was a clear blue sky without it being screwed up by these damn chemtrails. I mean, it's just, you know, and they say that you get enough aluminum in the soil and crops won't grow. And guess who has an aluminum-resistant gene that's been patented?
Don't tell me about the local company from St. Louis.
R2-D2.
That's right.
Hey, guess what?
That's right. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something?
Where does aluminum come from?
Well, I don't know. From the aluminum theory?
Soda pop cans.
Yeah, duh.
Beer cans, buddy.
In general, where do you get aluminum to even turn it into a can or spray it in the air?
It's mined, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the ground to begin with. They're not spraying that on us. It stays up in the air. They don't fall down. They spread out. They don't spray over mountains because those are... This would take lots of video and several points to connect. It is geoengineering.
Wait a minute. That doesn't... If they get lower from where they're sprayed, I don't see where they would reach.
They
point,
don't get
they
lower. Listen,
listen,
I've been filming these longer than you know. You've known what a chemtrail is. I can show you some tape. I have tape of chemtrails. I've been on this a long time. They
he
don't
means
fall
cassette
down.
Tapes.
But wait a minute. They're finding the aluminum and the barium in soil samples.
That's where it comes from. That's what I'm saying. That's the disconnect. That's the red herring. That's the poisoning of the well. Aluminum and barium come out of the ground. You're going to find minute traces of it everywhere because that's where you get it. aluminum comes from the ground. Those condensation nuclei are designed to float. They're lighter than air particulates. They stay up in the sky, and they spread out. It's an optical illusion. They're not coming down. They're widening. Because just like that silver thing people put in their windshield to keep the car temperature down, they're making a giant one of those in the sky.
Because so what are you telling me? You think this is a good thing?
No, not at all. It's not at all a good thing. But what I'm telling you is that a lot of people think they're spraying us with some chemicals to poison us and it's part of some depopulation. Then you can disprove it right away because that's not what they're doing. If you
I would have to see some solid, some fairly rock solid scientific evidence that they're not hitting the ground because that
they're lighter than air condensation nuclei.
Dig up some soil and have it test for barium and aluminum. That doesn't sound
right to me.
That's
where barium and aluminum come from. Is
soil. I understand that, but it's that's where gold and silver. But I'm not going to go in my backyard and start digging up gold and silver nuggets.
You'll just have to test the parts per million every year.
Right. Listen,
if I could, my backyard would look like a construction site.
Have you ever seen a seed germinate?
Well, I will be here real shortly because I just spent the whole damn day putting a garden in. So,
The plant pops out of the seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
What causes that?
Oh, heat.
And sunlight.
Moisture.
Do you know the earth is growing?
The earth is growing?
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes, it's expanding earth. You know how South America and Africa fit together? Those didn't slide apart. They grew apart. Just like a seed germinating.
Plate shifts.
It's not. They're not shifting. They're expanding. Like I said, this would take lots of video evidence and more time than we have tonight. But I'm telling you, you don't have to take my word for it. But if you want to look into this further and not just buy the Alex Jones version of what's happening, the earth is expanding.
No, it's not just the Alex Jones version.
Correct.
Look,
that's a red herring. They're not killing us.
People have seen this stuff come down in the string-like substances and hanging the damn trees.
Well,
and taking it to labs and had it tested.
And listen, and I will tell you this: all of these programs are multifaceted. It's not one thing versus another. There probably are silly string-ass chemtrails out there, but the bulk of this is to keep the earth from expanding, not to help us to keep the status quo. If the Great Lakes and the Gulf of Mexico touch each other, are you going to work tomorrow?
I don't know, man. I'm glad we've got environmentalists on the damn job then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's no environmentalists that can stop it. They're trying to. They're trying to delay the inevitable. They're trying to maintain the status quo. But the earth
What's the inevitable?
The earth will expand again.
And then we're going to what? Explode?
No, it'll get bigger.
Sinkholes, baby.
Listen, borders will erase. Oceans will be different. Cities will be lost. We're not all going to die. Listen, life is the point of this thing. Through all of this nonsense and world wars and vaccinations and GMOs, there's more people here than ever before. They can't kill us all. Life is the point of this thing. They're trying to delay the inevitable because if the earth expands, then all of a sudden nation borders, state borders, all kinds of stuff gets thrown into disarray, including the time, the 24-hour day, the 365-day year. Everything will change.
Wait a minute, the Earth is just going to expand one day?
It might take 2 or 3 days, but yeah,
okay,
essentially.
So over 2 or 3 days, it's just going to...
You don't think it's just kind of slowly happening?
So you don't think there's a cabal of elites? That are actively trying to kill off the human population.
That's true too. But that's what I'm saying. They're doing a horrible job because there's more people now than ever, and they've turned the thing all the way up to 11. Right?
It would be both of them.
Listen, yeah,
experience is the ultimate truth. You realize the United Nations in their charter does call for 90% population reduction. It's there. I've read it.
I know. I agree, and I've seen the Georgia Guidestones. But what I'm telling you is, with all of that, they've let off 2,053 nuclear weapons since 1946, and there's still 7 billion people here. What I'm trying to say is if you observe everything, sleep and awake, you're awake for a huge period of time, you're asleep for a huge period of time. Falling asleep and waking up are instantaneous almost compared to those two acts of stasis. Gestation takes 9 months. A life is about 80 years. Being born goes by in just a few hours. Any time you have two great states, the the nexus point between them happens rapidly. It's punctuated equilibrium. It's why there's no in-between mammals, in-between animals in the fossil record. Yes, when this stuff happens, it happens radically all at once, and then you have a long period of stasis, and then radical change and a long period of stasis, and you can look at that anywhere. When you grow, when you mark your kids' height up the wall, they don't creep up 4 millimeters at a time. They stay 4'1" for 6 months, and the next time you turn around, they're 5 foot tall. Everything happens that way. Everything happens that way, and if you observe what's going on, you don't need Alex Jones or the UN Charter to look around. Yes, vaccines, world wars, 2053 nuclear weapons, geoengineering, vaccinations, GMO food. There's still 7 billion people here. So if their plan is to kill everybody, they're either idiots or it's not possible.
No,
right?
It's all going to happen in one shot. Is what's gonna happen.
That's a good point.
When
yeah, Jake,
everybody
yeah.
gets guns and they point. Cut off the SSRIs is the next step of the plan. So, yes, they
the great
want everybody
sinkhole
to be
in the
armed.
Sky, baby.
I mean, that all sounds well and good. But
it
the,
is
but the
well
fact
and good.
Is, the fact of the matter is cancer rates are skyrocketing.
They are.
Diseases are coming back.
They are. But life is inextinguishable is what I'm trying to tell you. So if you lose the fear and look at what's actually happening, you can navigate through it easier. Or
I'm not scared. I'm not scared, but I don't deny reality either. I mean, reality is what it is. It's not what I want it to be. It's
right.
not what you want it to be. It is what it is. I mean, I'm a real black and white guy. And look, as far as Alex Jones goes, anybody can fact check. You know, you've got to be a complete idiot. You know, you sit there and watch Alex Jones and say, okay, well, I'm going to verify this and double check it or triple check it. It's easy. It's a piece of cake. And you don't just, you know, anybody that gets their news from one source, whether it's NPR or Alex Jones, is an idiot. You know, that's what the web's for. You've got a whole world out there full of information that you can access. So, you know, you access what you think is real. You think it's real. You check it. You double check it. You triple check it. You verify it. It turns out to be true. Then you form a thesis in your mind. You know, and that kind of forms your viewpoint. You have one, your life's viewpoint, obviously, which you just expounded on and which you just laid on me, and I've got one, and that's what forms our opinions and our basis for how we see the world. But what I'm telling you is that there is a cabal of elite men who they do want to kill us because they just see us as useless eaters.
I know.
While that may be true, they have yet to be able to accomplish, if that's their goal, that extermination. They haven't done that yet.
And no, they're either, not yet, but that doesn't mean they won't.
Well, right, but, I mean, we've been talking about this for some time now. It's just like the articles that you read that in 2 weeks the United States economy and the dollar will implode and become valueless. I've been reading those articles for over 10 years. In 2 weeks, it's all done for. You know,
and look at the price of everything. Look at the price of beef. Look at the price. I remember when I was a young man and started shopping, what the price of a chicken was. I know I can go up to my local Walmart grocery here, and a chicken's $11 or $12 damn dollars. Now you want to
go back
a few years and tell me what the price of a chicken was?
Chicken is not $12 at Walmart. I don't go to Walmart. There's no way you're paying $12 for a chicken. You shouldn't. I mean, Fester.
A good chicken
isn't at Walmart.
Are you talking about a turkey?
Uncle Fester, do you have access to the internet?
What's the internet?
Anyway, at my website, go find the others. Last week's suicide, or number 308, I put a clip in about the expanding Earth, and I linked the YouTube thing. It's right underneath the suicide. So if you go to gofindtheothers.com, suicide number 308, look at this expanding Earth thing, and you'll see what I'm saying. It connects a lot more dots than they found aluminum in the soil, because that's where aluminum comes from.
All right.
The plan is
I'll
bigger
check
than
it
that.
Out.
All right, Fester. You take care and, keep.
Hey, man. Check out those Rock Islands, baby. Check out those Rock Islands.
If I get a 45, it's going to be an American one.
Right.
So.
And have your mom and dad talk to your brothers. They don't sound like nice people.
Tell them to put down those beer bottles. All right, Fester, you take care and have a good day. Good morning, whatever it is.
It's weird. He seemed to have a lot of problems with brothers. I mean, I'm just like, I don't usually ask my assaulters, like, so are you two brothers? I don't get that.
I bet they were twins and he could tell by looking at them.
Oh.
What kind of a question do you normally ask your assaulters?
Can I at least just have one of those cigarettes and then you can take the rest? Don't leave me with no cigarettes and no fare.
816-931-5534. 931-KKFI. You're pretty convinced about this whole expanding Earth theory thing.
It makes sense.
It syncs right up with my hole. I mean, that came out wrong, yeah. But
yeah.
No, I mean, it fits. It makes sense. Everything grows. The universe is expanding. People are expanding. Plants are expanding. Everything observable grows. Why would the Earth not?
Yeah.
And that video I'm talking about.
We're going to be as big as Jupiter someday?
Correct. There's the uniplanetary evolution theory that through Mercury all the way through Pluto is the same planet at different stages as it gets bigger and then finally poofs into a bunch of little planetoids. And that's neither here nor there, but if you're interested in the expanding Earth itself, go to Suicide 308. The YouTube video is right there. The guy name's Neil Adams, and he does show a slow progression, but I'm telling you, punctuated equilibrium is how anything works, and you can observe
What do you make of the asteroid field in between Mars and Jupiter?
Right. Something blew up.
Yeah.
Cool. So... you really think that the chemtrails, the aluminum oxide, it's just staying up there? That they're not like doing a little,
probably
two birds, one stone? I mean, what I've seen, that documentary, which is very good, What in the World Are They Spraying? Which
it is very good. G. Edward Griffin's a slippery cat, though. You got to be careful with him. And
that's not a G. Edward Griffin.
He's involved. The guy that makes it, the young guy that makes it, uses G. Edward Griffin's video publishing company as the executive producer level type stuff. Yeah, the Mike McDonald, or
some of this, the aluminum, which is alkaline, is causing the soil to become more basic, and it's not allowing the same growth of microbials or something like that, and it's killing the soil. I mean, it didn't seem... That
implausible, right? That's the way to build a side story. And ops of this nature are multifaceted. I'm not saying for one second there's Agent Orange, there's desecrated red blood cells, the Tuskegee. I mean, they're spraying stuff on people all the time. Absolutely.
I think governments know, and I think there's been a lot of independent research into this, that when food becomes scarce or the price of it goes up, you have conflict.
Right.
10 times out of 10. Right? I mean, you know, Syria, for instance, has been in a drought for 5 years or 6 years, something along those lines. All those countries that had Arab Springs were food importing countries. You know, they had, you know, there was food shortage. There were instabilities there. So then if you're geoengineering to reflect the sun's rays back into the ether of space, you are controlling the ability of plants to grow based upon sunlight and photosynthesis.
Right, I mean, they're attempting to do that.
Attempting to do that. I mean, which is, you know, a classic, I'm insecure by the power of God, therefore I'll try to become that power, process. And so then, why, you know, if that's part of it, why wouldn't you want to have the double edge? Let's manipulate, we'll have a soil manipulation as well. We'll be killing off...
Correct.
The ability of the soil to grow stuff.
Well, the Romans figured that out. They just threw, without airplanes, salt out in the fields, and they inhibited growth there for long periods of time with just people on foot and bags of salt. And if their goal is to keep the crops from growing, there's easier ways to do it than implementing spray out of airplanes.
Because I think what a lot of – well, and that may be true. I'm saying that is really what they're doing with they're trying to geoengineer climate change, global warming. I mean – are we going, well, they're really, you know, they're doing this clandestine program for the benefit of humanity.
For the benefit of status quo. Right. They don't want things to change. They don't want this punctuated equilibrium because literally borders of countries would radically change. The time of day would radically change.
So then are you connecting climate change with the expanding Earth theory? Like if the Earth,
right.
So at some point, like when the turkey's done, the little thermometer pops out and then the Earth just goes psh.
Yep, kind of like a popcorn when it heats up enough. It just psh, all at once.
Oh, somebody gave up. 816-931-5534.
Oh, you quitters, come on.
931-KKFI.
But the checkerboard stuff, I was giving Uncle Fester a hard time, but I mean, you've seen him, Ben. I've been filming this stuff since before Alex Jones was talking about it. I've had my eyes to the sky that long. And the checkerboard stuff is about reflecting the sky. I've seen... like you said, it looks like silly string come out of airplanes that just falls to the ground. That's not a geoengineering thing. It's of experiment of some other kind. It's the Morgellons plane, that's what I call it. But who knows what all they're doing, but the bulk of what people call chemtrails, the checkerboards across the sky, are strategically placed in places like the Midwest where fault lines occur. I think the BP oil spill was
but
about...
The Midwest is also one of the larger... I mean, this is the breadbasket of the world.
Right. Because that's it's soil rich and it's not mountainous. And this is where the next, you know, when Yellowstone goes, the expansion is coming from Yellowstone to the Gulf of Mexico, which I can tie Fukushima.
I thought when Yellowstone goes, we're going too. Well, and that's a big one.
It is. And it would screw up stuff in Montana and Canada and the states surrounding it. But that's what I was trying to tell him. There, all of the volcanoes on Earth have gone off the whole time, and life is not extinguishable. That's what a lot of people don't realize. Add up all the volcanoes, add up all the earthquakes, all the hurricanes, all the tsunamis, add them all together. Even Noah's flood didn't kill. I mean, they forgot a few people then. Life is inextinguishable. You can't get us all.
Are you talking about the Russell Crowe movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about with Noah's flood?
I'm talking about earth catastrophes. Even if the super caldera.
No, I get it.
Yellowstone,
I mean, life
goes,
is tenacious. Life does not want to die.
It's the point of all of it.
There are people who live in Haiti.
Right. Yeah. Eating mud cakes still.
People that live to be 100 years to live in Haiti. Life is an amazing thing. I mean, it really is. What it seems to me is that evil cabal of people that Fester was talking about.
Hubris. Ego.
Well, hubris and ego, but it's really, I think you're right in that. They can't kill, 7 billion people on the planet. They can't pull the trigger. They can't get it done. I mean, there's all the people who were killed in the 20th century.
Right.
And there's still 7 billion of us.
We're 70s and 80s kids. Nuclear bombs are the most terrifying thing ever invented. They've let off 2,053 of them since 1946.
But what
7 billion people here.
What I do believe that evil cabal of shape-shifting alien reptiles, I think what they ultimately do want is for people to be dependent upon them.
And freaked out.
Dependent upon them. Freaked out in that, keep me safe.
Correct. We agree on that.
And that's kind of the idea. That's why people are so sick, because they're dependent upon pharmaceutical companies. That's why people are, you know, dependent upon processed food. You know, I mean, people are dependent on going to places like Walmart to make their paycheck, you know, go a little bit farther. I think the powers that be want that dependence. And it's the independence of some entities, some ideas, some groups of people in this country and maybe in some other places on the planet Earth that are the real threat. People who are not taking the information that they're given and using it as gospel.
Right, and the people that are not scared.
816-931-5534-931-KKFI, or you could text the non-corporate Paragon Radio text line at 816-301-5731. That's 301-5731.
The Earth's population in 1950 was approximately 2.5 billion people. All of the vaccines, geoengineering, GMO foods, nuclear weapons, superstorms, we've gained 5 billion people since they've implemented this plan to kill
everybody.
Yeah,
but 5 million deltas, bro, or 5 billion deltas. Right. I mean, if we want to borrow from, you know, Aldous Huxley's concept of a brave new world, I mean, we didn't add 5 billion alphas to the planet.
We did not.
I mean, this is my point in that I think the powers that be like to have the folks below them extremely dependent upon them. And life is tenacious. I mean, life wants to live. There's power there. But when it's dependent, and it gets a little ugly. We're much more like the tumor. We're much more like the mold on the sandwich.
There's about to be penicillin to cure this.
Really? You think the cure is coming out of it? You think?
Well, it has to.
The cure will come out of the metastasized malignancy that is the, you know, the industrialized centers of China. I mean, the cure is coming from there.
Yeah, a lot of mutations are horrible, but some of them work out.
Well, and how is that going to, I mean, how do you see that playing out?
I don't. We'll be surprised by it. I mean, you know what I mean? It's what you least expect. It's kind of look over here, look over here, look over here. And I think, you know, ultimately, none of us got to have a real grip on what it actually will be. But it'll be something because life is inextinguishable.
So, you know, 7 billion people won't matter once the Earth expands. We'll have a little more space.
A little more real estate. It'll, you know, the coast, I mean, the...
So if the Earth does expand, it won't matter if Greenland's ice sheet falls into the North Atlantic because the sea levels will be able to rise, but there'll be more surface area.
Correct. And, you know, Miami, New York, L.A., the douchebag capitals will be wiped out because they're way too close to the ocean. But that's, you know, thinning the herd.
So we're going to thin the herd now?
Herds get thin. Okay. That's a natural process. You know, it's symbiosis. The weakest and retardedest.
There's no doubt about that. If you look at a place like India or a place like China, if you look at, I mean, the pictures of what they're calling Armageddon or the Airpocalypse in China.
Right.
I mean, it's frightening. I was looking at some of these pictures, and apparently it just keeps getting worse every single year. And if I was a Chinaman and I was dealing with this air, why would I feel the need to follow any instructions or go to work or do anything? Because it would seem to me like there was a, you know, like it was ending. Like it couldn't get much worse and that we were all inhaling death and it was just a matter of time before it was all over.
Did you hear about the artist
that sold the bottle of
the
of
jar
French,
of French air for
$800 or something like that? Yeah. Right.
No, I think it was like 800 G's, wasn't it?
$800,000 for a joke.
It was like $750,000. Yeah, because it was like some.
I don't think so. I think it was more like $800. But so.
that's a big gap.
That is a big gap.
How many bitcoins was it?
Enough.
Yeah, is that how they paid?
No, there's a herd of wildebeest, and there's a herd of lion, a pack of lions.
So there's clearly going to have to be a thinning coming because there's so much, and I don't know that America's appetites are unsustainable, but our system here is basically sustainable. I mean, there's enough land here and enough food here, and we're producing it. It's just fine. But you look at a place like China or India, and you go, well, things are not fine there. At some point, we'll have to. That's why they have those viruses. You have, you know, pig flu and swine flu and all those other things.
Absolutely.
MERS and SARS and bird flus.
Nature is always seeking balance, and there are
every single invasive species comes from Asia.
Right.
Yeah, just about. Maybe some Africanized bees, you know. Could, you know, or would be invasive species not from Asia, but the vast majority of the invasive species, animal or plant, are Asian in origin. Something about that.
That is crazy. I've never thought of that. But it's probably consists of the bulk of the land mass on Earth anyway, so might be just a ratio issue there.
No, and maybe so. I just mean to say that there's something about the density of that, and that is wholly unsustainable.
Correct.
And, I mean, and hey, at some point, you'd like to think the alphas could figure out, or, you know, the human beings could figure out a way to order things a little bit better than just the random nature in which it's been done, because it's pretty ineffective.
And inefficient, and in some spots, you know, Armageddon-like.
It's about 2 minutes before the hour of two right here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community.
It's all
radio.
For profit. Yeah, I did my math wrong, Ben. You were right. It's actually 5,250 yuan.
Which is like $800.
$860. I thought it was like $750,000. But I'm a history English guy, so don't talk to me about this.
Again.
Call Ben before you bid on air next time, Jesse.
It's like one of those deals where it's you think the American dollar has no value, and you're like 5,000 Chinese currency units. That must really be a lot. Okay. The American dollar, for whatever reason, continues on, as do the American people and the whole planet, you know, human civilization. For good or ill, much to the